Hey, it's your boy JC. This is episode 67 of the Dream 10X podcast. And I just finished reading the most amazing book. Let's see, I'm trying to get this in. Creative Capital by Spencer Ante. Cindy wants to be in here. I'm showing her. Sitting by the fireplace in an undisclosed location. It's undisclosed because we don't want other people to book this place because it's always booked.
It's always booked.
So just wanted to recap this book real quick with my key takeaways. First of all, this book is packed with details. Here, let me turn this way.
Yeah, that's better.
I'm sitting on a couch. She's sitting on the floor. It's hard to get both of us in here.
Here, I could snuggle up next to you.
That's it's not going to work. Just sit on the couch.
I'm moving to the couch.
I just finished reading this book, and I was blown away by how much detail is in it. Spencer Ante, this book came out in 2006, I think it was, and just a tremendous amount of detail, and I just dog-eared the heck out of this 2006 or 2008? 2008 came out, copyright 2008. Here, let me put it in my left arm. So the thing that brought me to reading this book about Georges Doriot, a Frenchman, was a picture of a sailboat on the internet. I just saw it somewhere. I don't know how I saw
what kind
it. Was both in beautiful yacht. And I talked about it in another book that I reviewed that was also related to me seeing this yacht. It's called The Maltese Falcon. And it's interesting how if you have some curiosity in something, what that curiosity can take you down, what trails that curiosity can take you down, and what you can learn from being curious about things. So I was curious who owned that yacht, because obviously it was a very expensive yacht. So I wanted to learn who could have enough money to make such an impressive vessel. Yeah. Beautiful, beautiful. I think it was like 250 feet long.
Shoot.
Like that. Huge. Yeah. And very state-of-the-art. Turns out it was built by a venture capitalist that we talked about in another book that we reviewed called Valley Boy about Tom Perkins. And I didn't quite remember all the details about that review, and that's why I'm kind of glad we're doing Dream 10X and with handwritten notes in it, because then I could go back and review my notes on that book, Valley Boy about Tom Perkins. And so he's the guy who built the yacht. He was a venture capitalist. And in his book, he mentions this person who had a profound impact on his life, which was his Harvard professor, a professor at Harvard Business School that he really liked, who was called Georges Doriot. And so I was curious, well, who the heck is Georges Doriot, and how did he have such a profound impact on this guy's life to where he did these amazing things and made all this money and built this huge yacht? So that's why I picked up this book, Creative Capital, which is basically about Georges Doriot's life and his professional arc and how he impacted the whole world by becoming an American citizen and by helping in the world in the war effort during World War II. He obviously came from France, grew up in France. His dad worked for Peugeot. Come to find out, the Peugeot family in France started out as wealthy landowners. And I think they made a lot of money through farming and stuff like that. And through their income, they branched out into other investments, which included cars. Automobiles.
Yeah.
Another thing I learned from that is that Europe were the first people to develop the automobile.
Really?
Not America. I always thought it was America.
I thought it was the Germans.
It might have been Benz or somebody. I forget exactly. They mentioned in the book, but somebody in Europe was the first to develop the automobile. And so Peugeot was a big player in those early days.
That's cool. Of
building new cars and in modern, you know, evolving automobile technology.
I have good memories of a pea green Peugeot that Jason Mugger used to drive around in high school.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah.
Of course. So Peugeot, George's dad. I'm trying to keep this under 15 minutes, so I gotta move fast. But Peugeot employed Doriot's father, Auguste. And Auguste, I don't know how the French say it, August, but anyway, that was his dad. He worked for Peugeot, and he helped race one of the earlier vehicles that Peugeot came out with. So racing cars was a big deal to help prove that your cars were faster, better, more efficient, more durable. So his father was helping Peugeot do that kind of thing. His father ultimately left Peugeot, started his own car company right when... I think it was World War One, right when World War One broke out, and so he had to convert his factory to the war machine. Mm. So basically, taking industry and converting it to helping the military industrial complex.
That's a nice pivot to be able to do that.
Well, yeah, and so that pivot is pivotal to the whole career arc of Georges Doriot as well. So Doriot comes to the United States ultimately. He comes here to go to MIT, but he runs into somebody who says, hey, if you want to learn how to run companies, you need to be going to Harvard Business School instead. Mm. So he ends up getting into Harvard Business School, which was really cool. This guy who comes over from France, doesn't know anything, doesn't have any money, but is able to pivot from being an MIT student to a Harvard Business School student. I can't even imagine doing that. Like, I would never get into either one of those schools, but he, you know, had his choice of where he wanted to go in an Ivy League. So he ends up going to Harvard Business School and learns about business and it ultimately ends up after he graduates, he becomes a junior professor at Harvard Business School and is very young for a professor, but the students apparently love him even as a new young green professor. So he starts making his mark at an early age as a young professor. He then ends up, I'm skipping a bunch of stuff, there's so much detail in here, but he ends up World War II then breaks out, right? And he ends up working for the army.
Oh, wow. Okay.
Quartermaster, using some of his background knowledge that he learned from business from his dad and what he's learning at Harvard Business School to help the Army use capital to do research and development to improve products that are used by the warfighter, basically by the soldiers. And so some of the things that he helped finance to help improve were C rations, K rations. And I have fond memories of eating, I can't remember if it was C rations or K rations as a kid, but my dad would always bring home these big boxes of, I think it was C rations. And we just love those things. Open up the cans and we thought it was the coolest stuff. So he helped invent that. He helped improve. So one of the really cool things was one of the generals came to him and said, hey, the boots our soldiers are wearing are so easily identifiable. They leave the footprints in the mud that are so easily identifiable by the enemy that they can find us really easy. Is there something that you could do? And they were in some remote region of the Pacific, I think. Huh. Is there something you could do to help make our footprints less identifiable by the native people in this region? And Doriot ultimately went to, I think her name was Margaret Mead or somebody like that, who was a biologist or a researcher.
I'm very familiar with Margaret Mead.
Oh, you are?
Oh, yeah.
So that's the right name.
So remember Bateson?
Yeah.
My guy, Bateson? Yeah. That's his ex-wife.
No kidding. That's weird.
Yeah.
So anyway, she had a collection of all native footprints from all over the place, apparently.
Bateson studied to get, like, they went over and did
She was really into feet.
They went and studied different cultures and indigenous cultures.
So they took some of those footprints and put them on the bottoms of boots for the
smart.
Military. So they couldn't distinguish those footprints from native people. So they were harder to track the soldiers. That's genius. So this was what he was involved in, taking money from the government to help improve, using research and development for that money to help improve products.
Smart.
to help the warfighter win the war. And while I'm reading this, I was just really largely impressed by the number of miracles, not just from this book, but from other anecdotes, movies, and whatever. All the miracles that took place to help us win World War II. Mm. From Einstein coming over here to the listening posts that we had in Virginia that could intercept signals between the Japanese ambassador and Hitler. All these miracles that took place, I just don't see how we could win another world war. That was like a once in a lifetime thing. All these things. And Georges Doriot was critical to improving our war capabilities. Mm-hmm. So him coming from France and being involved with Peugeot and coming over to the United States and being familiar with industrial production and factories and how to convert factories to the military industrial complex, and because America didn't have that capability at all for World War II, to World War II. And so he was critical in helping convert car plants, because they didn't want the Fords and whatever, these guys didn't want to get involved, and he had to sell them on that. It's like, hey,
really?
He called it the dual carrot stick thing, or used patriotism, and the government is telling you to do this. It's your duty to help the country. And so he was instrumental in helping to convert these factories to building tanks and jeeps and trucks for the army, and just did a phenomenal job. And as a result, he later became a general himself.
A
brigadier general. And he served the military for a large number of years. Even after the war was over, he ended up going back to teaching at Harvard. And then he started a company called American Research and Development, which became the first venture capital company in America. He took that paradigm that he learned from World War II, taking investor money, deploying capital to help companies grow, build new products. And that ultimately started venture capital in America. It started on the East Coast in Boston. And it started there because of MIT and Harvard and all the connections that he had had on the East Coast. And wow, just an amazing thing to think about, that he started that whole thing. And so that was a huge... Venture capital is actually a spinoff from war efforts from the military-industrial complex.
It's wild.
It's fascinating to think about. And also, I always thought it was a West Coast thing, but started on the East Coast. This is where it all started. And, it started... As they became more successful with this paradigm of creating new companies using creatively deployed capital on the East Coast, there was a little bit of jealousy, I think, on the West Coast. Like, hey, we've got Stanford and a lot of smart people, a lot of engineers out here. Why can't we do the same thing? And before you know it, you've got... one of the big successes that Doriot's American Research and Development Company had was... Digital Equipment Corporation, run by Ken Olson. That was a hugely successful effort for them. Mm-hmm. And so, of course, people wanted to duplicate that. So today, when you think of venture capital, you think of, or I think of, companies like, Kleiner Perkins, which is who, I started reading about because of the Maltese Falcon. And, contemporary firms like A16Z, which is Horowitz and Andreessen, and Sequoia, of course, Sequoia Capital, that's another big one. But these are modern West Coast venture capitalists who have been even more successful with Apple and even Bushnell's Atari and, so many cool tech companies. And just so much money was generated, between the two coasts using venture capital. It's a dual-edged sword. Also thinking about the working for startup companies that are venture-backed, it's very stressful because these guys want want huge returns with their money. Yeah. And so there's a lot of stress there. And there's a lot of game playing. People get pushed out of companies that they started. And, even... Doriot ultimately lost control of American Research Development Company because they went public. And I guess there's a big distinction when you take a company public. You have to give up ownership to a number of different people, and control can easily go out the door. So that's one of the things Kleiner Perkins learned, was that they wanted to keep their Kleiner Perkins firm private so they could retain control of it. But great book. We're at 15 minutes. I want to keep these at 15 minutes. And I had a lot of fun reading it, and I'm happy to be relaxing this weekend with my wife.
Yay. Thank you for sharing your story.
Yeah. Thanks for listening.
Absolutely.
Talk to you next week. Bye. Over and out.